and a sword in his hand, and he's riding a white horse across this land. He has fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand. He's riding a white horse all across this land. He's calling out to you and me. You ride with me. He has fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand. He's riding a white horse across this land. Falling down to you and me. We'll be right back.
greeting, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight, right here around the world on WWRP. Glad to have you in here. We got a great one for you, part two of the Ghost Riders in the Sky. Have you seen anything lately? Well, you're going to, coming up on the world stage. Yahweh's about to perform his brand or his version of the time of trouble. Get ready. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, we've been in time of trouble. Well, you haven't seen anything yet. If you believe that Satan is loose now, you wait. Do you know the Bible talks about Satan being bound for a specific amount of time? And that he's going to come eventually to the point in time when he's going to be loosed. The final loosing before the final end of Satan. He's called Lucifer, the old devil, the snake, the charmer. And he's got children running around here on earth, believe it or not. And that's been the problem throughout all history. We've had to bow, if you will. We've had to, you see, Satan wanted worship. If you will worship me, he told the Messiah, if you'll bow. Unfortunately, in today's enlightened, quote unquote, society, far too many people laugh and consider a literal personal being as foolish to propose. And so I know that people really don't believe that Satan exists. They think it's just some kind of, most religious people don't even believe it themselves. However, I want you to know that in the beginning, we've had many, many scriptures to indicate that Satan and his offspring came out of the book of Revelations, and where we were at last night, back to Genesis. So he's been around a long time. Now, what about symbols in the Bible? Now, symbols, to a lot of people, sound too mystic, and they would rather talk about prosperity. You see, the preachers today, they've got the people lulled to sleep. They're in the bell boxes, asleep. And the Bible said, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Oh man, they took their ease, everything is fine. They're building and planning and planning and plotting and thieving and going on and waxing rich and oppressing the poor. Now, do you know that some of these mysteries and symbols that are deep hidden things that are understood by only a few? Now, let me explain that. Say it with me. Straight is a way, and narrow is a gate, and a few there be to find it. Now, let me add a little bit to the few now. Now, we got the few together. Now, let's see who reveals to the few. Except, I first reveal it by my prophets. First, I reveal it by, you know, you could fast, you could pray, and you could agonize to try to get the understanding, and you could get the interpretation of things, and you'd never get it. You have to come. The Bible said you're not crowned except that you strive lawfully. The prophets, the teachers, the understanding people, a few that will become the interpreters by their definement of what the scriptures mean. Strays away and narrows the gate again, and a few there be that find it. So, in the same manner, now watch Satan. He is a perverter of things already understood. He understands a lot of things in the Bible, far more than you would really realize. He knows when people are deceived. He knows when they don't have any scriptural basis to believe what they do. But he recognizes that deceiving people is his main deal. I mean, he gets off on that. He cherishes to deceive you. That's his big picture. He wants to deceive the very elect. And this master plan has, Satan has his own symbols with their own meanings, and he gives the carnal mind the meanings, or the same right meanings, and there is a way that seemeth right. He wouldn't dare tell you that you have to repent and be baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins. He put a false name up front for you to believe, but because it's wrote in the Bible, and the Bible itself tells you to search the scriptures for wherein you think you have eternal life, you don't have any. And so then, the Bible said, search the scriptures, prove all things, and hold fast, hold fast. Don't let go of the limb with a symbol from Satan or something that you think is right and go and join a church and believe a lie and be damned. Satan wants to ultimately deceive you. That's what his goal, kill, steal, and destroy. In the last days, he's going to be forced into the open. Now, I told you last night there was war in heaven. That's what we're going to pick up tonight on the ghost riders in the sky. The heavens are filled with activity right now. Now, did you know, according to the book of Matthew, that when the Messiah was coming down off the mountain where he had raised John the Baptist and where he had raised Elijah and where he had raised Moses? Now you say, well, the Bible don't mention but two there, Pastor Buddy. That's true. For you that can interpret the symbols of what he meant upon the Mount of Transfiguration in the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew, he was talking to a person that had been here before. Obviously, that was Elijah, and it says that Elijah and Moses appeared to him. It meant that no man has ascended into heaven, meaning that they've already come down out of heaven and been here before. You say, oh, I can't believe that. You see, the devil has vaccinated most people in church. The church entity, they have bought into something that seems right, and they don't really believe that man is capable of living twice or more times on the earth. And yet we know for sure that the Messiah definitely stated, coming down off the mountain, because the question was asked. Here's what Peter and James and John asked him after they had gone through this transfiguration. It was awesome. They saw the dead appear as lively stones. Well, you know, he's not a god of the dead anyway. So it meant that Moses and Elijah was alive. And yet, Yahweh, Yeshua, in the flesh body, he told them that there were three beings there. Now, the other person was John. They said, well, now, the Bible says that Elijah has to first come. Now, remember, he already lived before. The Israelites realized that. Peter, James, and John realized that Elijah had been here before. And they expected to come back. Tell me they didn't believe in life after death. And tell me that they didn't believe in reincarnation. Tell me that they didn't, and tell me that the Messiah didn't believe in it when he said himself. They said, well, the scripture says out of the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah that Elijah, before the Messiah comes, he's going to appear, Elijah, again, and he's going to restore everything and make straight in the desert a highway for the God of Israel that was to come. I said, well, you know, you told us that in the Bible, the scriptures, the prophecies, the prophets told us that before the day of Yahweh would come, and if you read the 34th chapter of the book of Ezekiel and the 36th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, those two chapters, you'll find that the quote or the prophecy was given by Yahweh himself. that Elijah would come back and restore all things before the coming of the Messiah. They said, well, no, you know, you said that you were the Messiah, and yet Elijah ain't come yet. Now see how this thin line of faith and belief and truth prevails over people's tradition and understanding. Here they were waiting, watching, looking. They every once in a while they read the prophecies in the book of Isaiah, and tonight we're going to capitalize on the 14th chapter, and we're going to deal with the five I wills in the 14th chapter. That's what I'm going to ultimately get to. However, the Messiah said something incredible, earth-shaking, if you will, defying all of the traditional doctrine of the Christian church today who has been vaccinated against reincarnation. Now, the Bible said you've got to die one time. That's it. Now you're going to die one time. Well, I have to disagree with that, don't you? The Bible didn't say that, no way. It's an assumption of a Christian concept that's been put in the heart of people to believe the lie and be damned. I'll give you an example. Lazarus was alive once and he died. And then he was resurrected and he lived again. As far as we know, he's still living. There's no record that he ever died. You can't prove he died. And there was a quote in the 21st chapter of St. John that he would live and remain till the coming of the Messiah. Now, this mystery of iniquity that I've taught on in the past is linked indefinitely to this book in the book of Isaiah, the chapter 14. It talks about the times when the serpent is going to complete his linear existence into an eternal one by wrapping his beginning, the act that he did in a garden. I mean, he's still around, isn't he? I mean, he got a woman pregnant and he left the scene of, wasn't no accident, but he left the scene. He got out of there real quick and literally nobody has seen him since. Nobody could actually get on a witness stand and say, oh, I've seen Satan. After he impregnated Eve, he ran out, but I seen him. You can't read one scripture where anybody has ever seen him since. Now, I do know that the Messiah wrestled with him of the earlier scripture that I alluded to, that the Bible says that Satan would deceive the very elect, and he tried the Messiah. He tries. Everybody comes into the world, and usually he wins because he's so deceiving and so powerful and so convincing, he can make you believe a lie and be damned. Now, let me ask you a question. If Satan is real, where is he? Now, if he failed and rebelled in some ancient time past before the creation of man, there's no actual scriptures to indicate that. The only vague reference would be the two words, tuho and aboho, used in Genesis 1 and 2 in the Hebrew language, and the prior rebellion was used to explain the destructive state of earth before creation or re-creation. I left out the end there, didn't I? Well, the end declares the beginning. And the beginning declares the end. Yahweh declared the end from the very beginning and told you that Satan fell, and it's recorded in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations by the holy writers, that Satan was going to be cast out of heaven. Now, when was that? Well, let's go back to the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew, where he indicated to Peter, James, and John, because they said, well, you know, we really doubt you now because the Bible says when the Messiah comes that Enoch, which was, I believe, the reincarnation of Elijah, been here, and that the Messiah himself had been here before. We know that in the in the 14th chapter of the book of Genesis, where he appeared to Abraham as Melchizedek, without beginning and without end. Guess who? The reincarnation of the one that created the heavens and the earth and the world and everything, including Satan. He created him as a diamond. He actually sat among the mighty ones. He sat in, he was second in command. And he envied the Messiah, the Creator. He envied him so much because he became the anointed cherub that covers in the Garden of Eden. And he was trusted. He walked among the spiritual beings, Adam and Eve. And he waited until they became flesh creatures, Adams, born into the earth into a flesh body. He waited and he caught his chance. And by him already having a fall prior to Adam, he had to have one after Adam. Now, that says in the book of Revelations, chapter 12, there was war in heaven. Here, the angels are busy preparing New Jerusalem. How long have they been building that city? Well, I would think quite a while. Even the angelic beings, you say, oh, God could just speak the word. He could. But in this case, he gave gifts to men. We have builders today. They build and practice the abilities of the gifts given to them from above, not from below. This didn't come from the devil. The devil is destructive. He's negative. Adam was positive and spiritual. But there was a time in Ezekiel chapter 28 where it says in the 13th verse, let me read it to you, and I'll quote it, you read it. Thou hast been in Eden in the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Man, he swung a big hammer. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee the day that you were created perfect. Until, say it with me, iniquity. You see, if you give the devil long enough, he'll prove himself. You know a tree by its fruit. Don't jump at every wind and doctrine that comes out of these churches. They're protecting the right to gather the wealth and the riches, just like the Catholic Church, the richest church in the world. And yet the Bible calls her the great whore of Babylon. Revelation 17. And yet, she's so beautiful, and people admire her, that when there's a great religious function in the earth right now, it's the Catholic Church that leads the parade. I mean, the Pope is now in England. He was in Scotland. And he's the anointed cherub that covers. They imitate him. The Pope is the Holy Vicar, or in place of God. Now, what God? The Antichrist, the anti-God. There's a way that seemeth right, and the anointed cherub, see, I have sent you over these in the garden. You were upon my holy mountain, and you walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. That's the mighty spirit being. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created until iniquity was found in you. And by the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of you with violence. You have sinned. Therefore, I will, listen now, before Yahweh comes down with New Jerusalem, this is my point, before this event that I preached about last night coming down from God out of heaven. This holy city, this, if you will, this star craft, or this mothership, 1,500 100 miles square. And in it was righteousness. But there's going to come a likeness. You see, Satan can duplicate, but it's only an imitation. It's not the real deal. Only a honeybee can tell a flower that Satan could make and one that Yahweh could grow. See, Satan can't grow a flower. He don't have anything to germinate. He don't have any creative ability. He's busy perverting what's been created. It's kept him busy. He could probably utilize his talents and fill some of the desire if he wanted to, but his job strictly is to deceive the very elect. And my eyes worked. Said you were perfect in your ways until iniquity was found in you, and yet I will cast you as profane out of the mountain or out of the city. And that's where Christians sing about they want to go up there. Why would you want to go up there when he's coming down here? Christians are, they are obsessed with going somewhere up to a city to walk around in it. When the Bible says they're going to miss it. If you are not ready to inherit the city or the things that are laid up for you from the foundation, he's going to bring it to you. You ain't even going to have to go. Why would you want to go anywhere anyway when this is the highest heaven? Look at this beautiful planet. Have you ever seen anything to equal or compare to it? You see, it says, it's like a man come and he left you an inheritance or a fortune, and he left to see what you would do with some bird or talent, some set on their nest eggs, and some didn't want to build a sea site. We should have had the money to build a sea site when it was God's house. God's place, God's altar should be built all over the United States. Instead, let me tell you something very startling. Now, there's other altars around, like personal altars for our brothers and sisters that's built, but there's still not one, not one, no, not one. Now, that's going to change, Yahweh willing. There's not a designated piece of real estate in the United States that we know of that has been dedicated as a meeting place. That's where the Bible says, I set you, the anointed cherub, over my house and my place of worship, and you fail through your transgressions and deception, and now I'm going to cast you out as profane out of the holy mountain, and I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of what? Because of your beauty. Man loves to build beautiful things. That's like the honeybee. Anything that is artificial, a building, the honeybee don't go to the building to collect honey. He's been given the unique ability to sniff out an artificial flower. He's been given the ability to know the truth and not follow after fables or traditions or the deceptors. Satan and his seed are here on planet Earth. How do I know? I'm fixing to tell you. He was cast out of heaven after the war. Now, when did that war start? Did it start before Adam? Was it still and continuous? Because the Bible said that God created everything perfect. There's no darkness in him, so there was no darkness back there when he first created. And yet, when we open up the book of Genesis chapter 1 and 2, it said darkness was upon the face of the deep. How did he get there? Through the fall. You see, these things that are, they are being replayed, just like our lives are being relived. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. What is to be has already been. Get with it. Wake up that inward man in you that has been put to sleep and has defiled your sanctuary by the iniquities of your understanding. Satan has planted, if you will, through the carnal mind, a lie in place of the truth. The truth is something so valuable that you will sell everything you've got to get it, and you must be able or willing to give everything you've got to get this seal. The Bible said a man found the diamond. And what did he do? Did he have the authorization to move in and start mining for the diamond? No, he didn't. It wasn't his ground. The Bible said heaven and earth belongs to Yahweh. Satan came and put his stamp upon it. He said, I own this. If you get it, you'll make me a deed to the property. I'll make you a deed, and I'll charge you usury and all these evil things that he's come. And he says, I'll actually literally eat you up with usury and using you in behalf of my children who will live off you like parasites. Now, when you borrow money, you've got to pay interest. It's against the laws of Yahweh for you to pay interest or charge interest to your brother. Well, Satan can get around it because he's not a brother. He's a half brother. Can't get around that because he's a half brother. He's not the real deal. The honeybee knows the difference. The spiritual honeybee, and let's hope that that's what you are. When you see the new Jerusalem coming down, you'll know right before it's time to come that Satan will come himself as an upsher, if you will, and he will come in like God. He will sit in the temple of God, and he will promise you a rapture, and the Christian churches have bought it. They're waiting on Jesus Christ to come to Jerusalem and to sit in the temple that the Jews, oh my God, how wonderful those Jews are. They're building a temple right now. Did you know that according to some of the reports that I've read, that they've already got about everything built and ready to go? But there's a sticky issue here. It's the seed of Ishmael. Ishmael is not wanting to cooperate. The sword is in his house. These covenants that Yahweh made with the sons of fire, that's the sons of Yah, and these are, again, these are half-brothers to the awesome, rich-blooded Israelites, the true blood, as it is Satan and his offspring are half-brothers, so it's a family feud. Jealous and envy, and in the middle are the sheep, the dumb, ignorant sheep who will not listen to the shepherds, and our radio ministry is called the Shepherd's Call. We call to you, we preach to you, we pipe to you, but you won't dance. You won't get with the program. You're always believing a lie. You want to believe things that you've been told, and when Pastor Buddy comes on and preaches that I've lived before, it scares you all to death. My God, that's that old witchcraft stuff he's preaching. That's devil stuff. The devil is the God of the dead. How could he preach life? Ladies and gentlemen, the only one that can preach life is the master of life, and the one that brought death is the master of death. Choose this day who you'll serve. If you want to sit in a pew and be dead, twice dead, plucked up by the root, and believe that Jesus Christ is going to come back and sit in Jerusalem in a temple that the Jews are going to build for him, then I've got some oceanfront property for you on top of Old Smoky. And I love it up there. I wouldn't want to defile it for you to have a place for Satan to set up there. And so then, I'm pretty sure that you ain't going to have that opportunity to set the temple on top of Old Smoky. Especially the temple that they're going to build with artificial hands, artificial material. Yahweh does not literally dwell in a temple made by man's hands. He tried that, and it didn't work. He tried to come down and get in it, and I'm telling you, when it was built for him, he accepted it. But just as soon as he got in it, I mean, it filled it so full they had to run out of it. They couldn't minister in it. So he had to leave before they could get back in it, and then they've been in it shouting ever since that Yahweh is in there. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is a spiritual temple. That temple is coming down. 144,000 is the offer of the motherhood of the New Jerusalem. It's coming to a particular place on the planet, and it's going to set down after the fact. Listen, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings that they may behold you. You have defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your traffic. Therefore, I will bring forth a fire in the midst of you. It shall devour you, and I will bring you to ashes. Now let's go to the 66th chapter of the book of Isaiah. In the day of the new kingdom, the new Jerusalem, there shall be set up a kingdom that will flourish forever. And then you'll go forth and look at those disobedient ones, the ones that wouldn't keep his Sabbath, the one that wouldn't keep his sanctuary, the one that did not recognize the art of altar building or the art of lunar Sabbath keeping. All these things were cast aside by the satanic anti-God people who bought into Satan and his deceptive practices. It says, I will bring forth a fire and it will devour you. And all that know you among the people shall be astonished at you. You shall be a terror and never shall you be anymore. And now, from the text you can see what's the fate of Satan and those that are deceived by it. See, you get the same fate that Satan gets if you are deceived. Take heed that no man deceive you, for in the last day they're going to come and say, and set in the temple. Now, Satan, now this is the book of the Thessalonians, Paul doing the revealing here. The prophet that had the understanding. He also had the understanding of where that the Messiah went to when he died. He didn't go back to heaven. He went to a place called paradise where the spirits that are discarnate, in other words, discarded their bodies, the flesh bodies, even those that were disobedient in the days of Noah, he knew where they were at and he went down there and preached to them. Now, not all heard his voice. Only 144,000 heard his voice. These were selected and chosen before the foundation of the world to become the bride of the bridegroom who came in St. John chapter 3, verse 22, that he came for the bride. Now, this bride is now, in the first resurrection, resurrected out with 144,000 of those who were beheaded. It's always been a blood wash way. The kingdom is built on blood. The foundation is blood. In this case, the royal blood of the offspring of the royal house of Yahweh. And in the King's Gate Inn, where we're building a place where we can come and get on the altar, it's the only altar property chosen in America. Where there will be an altar, an old-fashioned altar, built to specifications, exactly as Yahweh ordered the children of Israelite in the 27th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, when he commanded them to erect an altar. And this man, Moses, gave the instructions. And here he is in the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew. There he is, ladies and gentlemen. There he is. And don't you know that Yahweh is a strong tower and the righteous run into it and say, see, this safety come about by the revelation that Yahweh said, do not go out to a place, a former place, where they say, oh, come, the Messiah is here with us. Go now and out to sea, he said. Why? Because he's not there. But Satan is going to come down as the artificial flower, and only the wise, the discerning, the honeybee type, they're going to recognize that it's not the real deal. I'm not running to Jerusalem to see nobody. I hope you don't. Because when he comes, every eye will see him, and it will be an event so wondrous. It'll be the city four square, 1,500 miles square. Now, this is going to come floating down like some magical city or kingdom that you see on some of the fairy tales. Yet, it's going to be the real deal. Satan can't duplicate that. Now, he's going to come in his very own body. He's got one. He used it to impregnate Eve. Then he slipped out of town. He left his seed here to be known as Yahweh's chosen people. And yet, they're liars and deception above deception because they follow the snake. And yet, they appear as the sons of light, or angels of light, would deceive the very elect if it was possible. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that this truth is so wrapped so tight that Yahweh is sending people a strong delusion that they would believe a lie and be damned. Now, let me tell you about these electromagnetic grids that covered the earth. Only recently have many fringe element scientists become aware of an electromagnetic grid, and I spoke about that in 20 and 12, as the disc technology that you see flying through there. If you've ever seen them, I've had them follow me. And I've had them to communicate with me. Now, these come as deceptors, but there are the good ones that also do that. So you got to be like the honeybee. You got to discern or be able to discern who's true and who's a Jew. Also, this presence of ghosts and demonic activity all have been within the presence of certain electromagnetic disturbances. Enoch describes seeing the path of angels in relation to the winds of the earth. Have you read the book of Enoch, who dibbled and dabbled in advanced science where he could see angels, and he actually acted as the go-between or the mediator between angels and Yahweh, the good guys and the bad? We're going to tell you about the anointed cherub that covers. It's a description of his position and created state. He's real. He was selected to do the job he done, and he's done a great job. And his mission to fulfill is to deceive the very elect. Now, only those, now listen to me, this is why I don't bother about trying to please the people of the world. I have no respect whatsoever for the devil and his angels. The Bible said resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Notice this now, and I've got to close here very quick. Notice what's coming. Satan is coming to deceive the very elect, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Coming to deceive. Now, how's he going to do that? He's going to sit down this. They're going to build, first of all, they're going to build a temple. Now, the one that Yahweh's got is being built somewhere else. I hate to tell you, it's not going to be here. But it is coming here. Now, that's the difference. And that's how you know an artificial temple and the real deal. The real deal is 100% a living organism. It is the body of the anointed who will gather in the city of New Jerusalem, a city called by his name. It'll be the flagship right in the center, as my good brother out in Kansas says, it's going to the center. It's going to be right here in the heartland, 1,500 miles square. It's going to sit down on the North American continent. You know why? Because that's the birthright territory that the adopted sons of Joseph, which cannot be disinherited. Everybody wants to focus on old Jerusalem. Nobody talks about new Jerusalem, but Pastor Buddy, and I'm startling you with this information that it's going to come out of heaven. It's not going to be an earthly thing. Nobody's going to lay one brick and mortar. It's coming down out of heaven. A living entity, a city, where the streets are transparent. Marvelous. You think man's going to build that over there? The Jews, you think they can do that and pull that off? The city of God is coming to planet Earth. Only after the rebellion of Satan is finalized and put down, and all of his angels and all of his people and all of his offspring and all those that are deceived by him are made ashes for the feet of the righteous. That is indicated in the book of Isaiah 66, 22, 23, and 24. Read it for yourself. And you Saturday service worshipers, you might better take a look at how the time is going to be counted by the new moons. That'll begin your count, not Saturday, not Sunday. You lying, demonic demons who have joined Satan and the accompaniment of Baal, the snake, that is put a, if you will, a tear among the wheat. That's going to be rooted up and going to be turned into ashes under the feet of the righteous. And then we will go forth. Listen to me now. I got to close. We will go forth and we will see all of those who wouldn't keep his commandments and love him and support him and lay up the treasures in him. You hold on to your filthy lucre. We didn't want none of yours anyway. We asked for the believers. And we got $150,000 in a collective form of many people that love Yahweh. It was somewhere, I think, $4 on up to $50,000. Collected $1,000 at a time, $100 at a time, whatever it was that people sent, and many people did, because they wanted us to have a place where Yahweh's name, and we really counter-named it, if you will, or sub-named it. Of course, we know it's the Royal House of Yahweh. That's the name of the property. And the gate to the property will identify itself as the King's Gate Inn. Right here in Sweetwater, Tennessee, where we're going to hopefully begin come Monday. Yahweh willing, you all be in prayer for us, and we solicit your prayers. Be much in prayer, because Satan is in the details. You know that. He can get in the details, and he can disrupt harmony. He can put everything out of balance by getting in the details. Pray that all goes well, and that we will overcome the lust and the temptation. See, the devil don't want us to have tabernacles at this place. We're praying that it become possible. We want to love. We want to be good to the people that are there at the property. We've got along so good. But we would love to be in the property on time. Pray that their hearts will be moved by our proposal to them, that they could get out and give us enough time to move in and keep the festival of tabernacle. We know that we are close. We know that we've got a time. And we know that all things work to the good that love Yahweh. Now, let me give you my mailing address. I need your help. here tonight. We've got a building that needs to be built. We've got so many things to do and get done. We're so far behind. Please help us. Fill in your heart a place for Yahweh. We plead his case because he said, when you see me hungry, you didn't visit me when you didn't see or when you didn't visit my brothers and you saw them hungry. You saw them naked. You saw them destitute. Out in the cold. We want Yahweh to have a warm place for his people. You see, Yahweh dwells like in New Jerusalem. It is the saints that make up the city. It's a collective group of people that love and praise Yahweh from the rising of the sun to going down the same. Join us. Write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Caswell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now again, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Caswell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now you can call me tonight. I'm live here on WWRB, sponsored tonight by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey and the tithes and offerings of the great host of people that love the royal house of Yahweh and the King's Gate Inn. We appreciate you. We love you. We pray for you daily. We're going to have a great prayer service, a bonfire. We're going to burn the notes, the letters and the things that you've sent in. We're going to burn those in memory of what you've done for us and helped us in this case. So call me, area code 423-626-2172. Now, you can call my cell phone anytime. That is 423-259-0606. And we appreciate Brother Mark and Sister Audrey sponsoring this program entirely tonight. And we're looking forward to seeing you at the King's Gate Inn in the future meetings to come. Hope that you are prosperous and healthy, and Yahweh will smile upon you and cause his wings to overshadow you and hide you in the shadow of the safety of the great name of the King. Many blessings to you. Yahweh is a mighty one. He's the King of all kings. Satan's going to find himself in the hands of an angry God. I hope you find yourself in the sweet arms of your Savior, who loved you before the foundation of the world and saved you with a holy calling. He's blessed all of his seed in the earth, and yet they're lost sheep. They don't understand who they are. They're out here wandering around. See, ladies and gentlemen, he's a rescuer. I know my sheep, and I am known as mine. There's a coming a time. I want to tell you something. This is very disturbing to me and always has been. And I'm going to tell you exactly why. The Bible says that Yahweh blinded us and left a remnant that could see and point the way for the rest of the blind. It's hard to lead a blind man. About as hard as it is to lead a horse to water that you can't make it drink. The people that hear us out there in the world, they know this is right. They're afraid of mommy. They're afraid of daddy. They're afraid of the system. They're afraid of the government. They're afraid of their wives. They're afraid of their husbands. They're afraid of their children. For fear, they will not enter in. You know why? Because Yahweh made it a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. I love it. Strap on that faith parachute and take a jump. And all things will work to the good of them that love him and are called according to his purposes. Yahweh is a good King of kings. He's a royal shepherd. We shall not want. He maketh us to lie down in green pastures, and he restores our soul from day to day. Every breath we take, every step we take, he's watching us. He's watching over his sheep. He knows them by name. Whew. From the foundation of the world, only those who are on his lamb's book. You see, he gave you a special name with a family name, and the whole body in heaven and earth, the one that's coming down here, that body up there, and the one that is going to join them here upon the earth in that new Jerusalem city are called by the name of Yahweh. That's what the Bible says, and that's why it says that they that are called by the name, they shall enter in, they shall be saved. Those that are called by his name. That's what we're after. We plead with you to help us. If you can, you know, like volunteer some more. If you got something special, you got a tractor, you got a piece of equipment that you could donate to us, we need it for Yahweh. Would you like to have your distinctive title as I supplied the tractor for the King of Gadian? And every time they cut a blade of grass, they cut it in the name of Yahweh. And we pray for all the grass and everything that grows on our farm. We're going to bless it in the name of Yahweh. We apologize to it to have to cut it down because it's so wondrous that Yahweh made it and all he made was good. But we're going to sever the briars and clean it, keep it clean. We are faithful stewards in Yahweh's great name. Yahweh bless you is my prayer, and may Yahweh keep you, and may Yahweh bless you coming in, and may he bless you coming out. You know why? Because the round horn is blowing in time at the King's Gate Inn coming up on the Festival of Tabernacles. Now, if we're able to get into the property, we'll have it at the property. If not, we're going to have it nearby at a motel if we can make arrangements. We haven't determined that yet, but we shall, because we're going to have a gathering. Come hell, will come Yahweh. We know hell will come before Yahweh, but Yahweh always shows up as a ghost rider in the sky to take down the enemy. And one can chase a thousand, and two can put 10,000 to flight. We love you. I'll see you Monday night with hopefully good news from Athens, Tennessee. Until then, keep us in your prayer. We love you very much. And we're going to ride with him. We love you.
Riding a white horse across the